From the KTOO Newsroom, I'm Yvonne Crumry. Legislatures and others who work in the Alaska State Capitol are no longer required to wear masks and be tested for COVID-19. The Alaska Legislative Council voted to eliminate the mandates today. The council requires masks throughout the regular session last year, but made mask optional during the four special sessions. It reinstated the mandate at the start of the session this year. The Capitol was closed to the public from March 13, 2020 until June of last year, but it has remained open since then. Cases in Juneau and throughout Alaska have fallen steeply since the session started. The rules will continue to require those who test positive for the virus to isolate. Individual legislatures may continue to require masks in their offices. A new totem pole is being carved in Juneau to represent the Tlingit, Haida, and Tsim Sheehan tribes of southeast Alaska. As KTOO's Lindsay Berlini reports, it's different from most totem poles, and it's taken longer than anticipated.
TJ Young is chipping away at a massive log. Small, curled wood chips pile up on the floor. Some of it is still uncarved, but there are figures emerging along most of the pole. Most totem poles are carved on one side, but this one is two-sided. They're calling it a 3D totem pole, and it's a lot more work. This pole is more than 20 feet tall and almost 4 feet wide at the base. Young says it normally takes him 3 to 4 months to carve one side of a pole. But for this project, he's 6 months in and still has a couple months to go.
Yeah, it's been challenging. It's been the most time-consuming project I've ever worked on, but I think it'll be worth it. And I think it'll represent all of us, you know, not just my family or my clan or my nation even. It's representing all three of us. So,
since the totem pole represents the Tlingit, Haida, and Tsim Sheehan of southeast Alaska, Young says he only included elements that all three tribes have in common. At the base of the pole, there is the man holding up the world. A little further up is the strong man.
He's in there ripping a sea lion in half. It's just a little glimpse of the story. It's a long story.
There's also salmon, the sun, the moon, the stars. There's an eagle on one side and raven on the other for balance. And on top of the pole, there are three figures representing the Tlingit, Haida, and Tsim Sheehan nations. Young is Haida from Haidaberg and has been carving for over 20 years now. He says he and his brother grew up idolizing master carvers like Robert Davidson, Bill Reed, and Jim Hart. He and his brother started carving right around the same time.
He got a set of tools. I got jealous, so I got a set of tools.
TJ Young's brother Joe Young helped carve this pole, and Greg Frisbee and Andrea Cook will help with the painting. Young says that the process of carving totem poles includes the whole community, especially when he's home in Heidelberg, where the carving shed is like a community center.
But it was definitely a spot where people would come in and visit and share stories, even help on the pole. We have some younger kids come in and helping out.
And it's the same when they raise totem poles, too.
Everyone's holding the rope. They just want to feel like you're part of it, and everybody, you know, it goes up easy if we all help out.
Installing this pole will be different because it will be carved on both sides. Young says it'll have to be lowered onto a metal pole at Sea Alaska Heritage Institute's arts campus in Juneau. He's not sure when the totem pole will be unveiled. Right now, he's more focused on getting the pole done before his deadline in mid-May. In Juneau, I'm Lindsay Brolini.
The state of Alaska announced it may finally sell one of its original mainline ferries that's been tied up for over 2 years. As Coast Alaska's Jacob Resnick reports, it's the latest twist in the fate of the ferry Malaspina that hasn't sailed since late 2019.
The Dunleavy administration announced late Friday that an unnamed U.S. buyer is interested in purchasing the Malaspina for an undisclosed amount. Now it's asking for other interested parties to make an offer. DOT officials say the preference would be for the 59-year-old vessel to remain in Alaska, though that wouldn't be a requirement. Last year, Governor Mike Dunleavy offered to give the ship away to the Philippines, but it wasn't accepted due to the amount of work needed to rehab a vessel that had been stripped and suffered some storm damage while moored in Ketchikan. The former mainliner has been offline since December 2019, when DOT balked at the estimated $16 million in steelwork needed to keep the ship seaworthy. A Coast Alaska investigation last year found that the state is paying nearly $75,000 a month to keep it. That's after insurance costs are factored in, with mooring fees at a private berth in Ketchikan owned by the Ward Cove Group. Several interested buyers said their inquiries to purchase the ship had been ignored, even as agency officials privately expressed concern over the mounting costs of keeping the idled ship in the fleet. That's according to interviews and review of several hundred emails released to Coast Alaska in a records request. Alaska Marine Highway System officials last year told lawmakers they were working with the Environmental Protection Agency to prepare to scuttle the Malaspina in deep water. But in a notice posted on the state's website, it says proposals for scuttling the vessel are not being considered at this time. The Malaspina was built in 1963 and was one of the Marine Highway's original three mainline ferries. The Taku was sold for scrap in 2018. The Matanuska is still in service. In a statement to Coast Alaska, a DOT spokesperson wrote that the agency's priority is finding the best interest of the state, which wouldn't necessarily mean fetching top dollar. There's value in preserving the vessel's historical value for Alaskans, and the statement concluded that the public is rightfully nostalgic for the vessel. Reporting in Juneau, I'm Jacob Resnick.
Yesterday was a special day. Sure, it was National Margarita Day, National Walk the Dog Day, and Cook a Sweet Potato Day. But it was also February 22nd, 2022, or put another way, Tuesday 2/22/2022. A group of people in Ketchikan gathered to mark the occasion at, when else, 2/22. How could they not wear tutus? KRBD's Eric Stone reports.
Yeah, I think our little promo was, this only happens once a year.
No,
this
once never, in your life!
That's Elma Parker and Ramanda Simpson of the Ketchikan Wellness Coalition. They're standing on Ketchikan's cruise ship docks, dressed in warm coats, jeans, and ballerina skirts.
It's such a dreary, like, this is such a rough time of year, right? February is actually the hardest time for me personally. And so the girls were all like, did you know it's 2/2/2/2/2? Like, I was all 2/2/2/2/2s. And so they laughed and said, let's do a tutu event. And it was born.
Barbara Morgan, a biology professor at the local University of Alaska Southeast campus, says she's a bit of a number geek.
I love palindrome dates, and this is like the greatest palindrome date ever, I think. 2/22/22. At 2/22 and 22 seconds is like, what, 7 twos in a row?
Well, Tuesday.
On a Tuesday. How can this not involve 2 twos? My favorite. Very cool.
The event attracted people of all ages, from 8-month-old Amelia Mulder to Laverne John, age 82.
I got talked into a tutu.
There was plenty of cheer to go around. Jessica Matthews' tutu is a deep royal purple.
This is about mental health and doing something fun and adventurous and happy. And so I want to be goofy and silly and fun. And we're going to find joy this year. Joy.
That's right.
As the moment approached...
2 minute warning.
The 15 or so revelers gathered next to Dave Rubin's iconic statue, The Rock. And at 2:22, everyone put up two fingers, smiled, and laughed.
3, 2, go! Okay.
Yay! Yay! Yay!
Not a bad way to spend a very special Tuesday. Reporting in Ketchikan, I'm Eric Stone.
The Biden administration is reeling back federal permissions for the proposed Ambler Road, a project that would support large-scale mining in northwest Alaska. In a court filing Tuesday, the administration agreed with road opponents that the environmental analysis of the project is flawed. The Interior Department wants to reconsider the federal right-of-way permits that the Trump administration granted. Alaska's congressional delegation blasted the decision. Senator Lisa Murkowski called the move a setback for the project, but said that the fight is not over.
This project is too important to us in the state, to the people in the region, and really to the country for the resource.
The Ambler Mining District is believed to contain large amounts of good quality copper and other minerals that proponents say will be important to an economy based on renewable resources. The proposed access road would stretch 211 miles in the Brooks Range, with 26 of those miles in the gates of the Arctic National Park. State Senator Donnie Olson, a Democrat who represents the region, says his constituents need the road and the mining it will support. The project, though, is controversial. Tanana Chief Conference President Brian Ridley calls it a threat to cultural resources and the subsistence way of life. Another Ketchikan resident has died of COVID-19, according to State Health Department. State Health officials report an unnamed woman in her 70s passed away in December. It's the 21st recorded death in Ketchikan attributed to COVID-19. Ketchikan's COVID death toll now exceeds Junos, a city with more than twice as many people. From the KTOO Newsroom, I'm Yvonne Crumry.